Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Two women charged in connection to fatal shooting. OA News at OAOA.com. Two women have been arrested in connection to a fatal shooting that happened over the weekend, as an Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed. They failed to call emergency services for the victim before fleeing the city of Odessa. Haley Staggs, 32, and Jennifer Portillo, 38, were each charged with murder, a first-degree felony. Staggs and Portillo were involved in the fatal shooting of 31-year-old Crystal Ariza, as the two women witnessed the shooting, drug the victim's body out of their car, left the victim's body in the street, failed to report the shooting to emergency services, cleaned their vehicle of the evidence, and then fled the city of Odessa, an OPD affidavit detailed. Staggs and Portillo are in custody in Texarkana as the investigation continues. OPD spokesperson Corporal Steve LeSueur said over the phone on Wednesday morning that Staggs and Portillo are awaiting to be extradited to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. Staggs and Portillo are the second and third subjects arrested in the fatal shooting of Ariza. Damian Dubry Smith, 38, was charged with murder, a first-degree felony, on Monday evening. The fatal shooting happened around 2 a.m. Sunday in the 500 block of North Lauderdale Avenue, an OPD affidavit stated. The victim was identified as Ariza, as her body was found directly across the street from the house Smith was paroled out to. Officers saw a gunshot wound to the left side of her face. Investigation reportedly showed recent Facebook conversations and phone calls in the victim's phone with a subject named Damian Dubry Smith and Haley Portillo. Smith stated he was going to have Ariza picked up at 1:30 a.m., and Ariza gave Haley her location to have them pick her up and further told them to contact Smith. Detectives identified Haley Portillo as Haley Staggs. The messages between Ariza, Smith, and Staggs were over drugs, and they were to meet up to make the deal. Staggs was reportedly interviewed by detectives, and she stated that she and her girlfriend, Jennifer Portillo, picked up Ariza from the address provided to her through Facebook Messenger. Staggs stated they were driving a black Kia four-door when they picked up Ariza. Staggs stated they were told by Smith to take Ariza to his residence in the 500 block of North Lauderdale Avenue, the affidavit detailed. Smith reportedly got into Staggs' vehicle, and he was upset at Ariza over a shortage of money that was owed to him. Staggs stated she saw Smith put a firearm to Ariza's face and shoot her in the left side of her face. Staggs detailed during her interview that after the shooting, Smith fled the scene, and she and Portillo dragged Ariza's body out of the car and left her on the street, the affidavit stated. Staggs stated they fled the scene and went to a friend's house in Odessa and got cleaning supplies. Staggs and Portillo reportedly started to clean their vehicle off the blood and evidence. Staggs and Portillo left Odessa and fled to Texarkana. Staggs also stated they found a shell casing in the vehicle and threw it out in a parking lot of a gas station in Snyder. Smith was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 11:46 p.m. Monday, jail records show. He also has two charges out of Ward County, which include going off bond for possession of a controlled substance, a state jail felony, and failure to appear for possession of a controlled substance, a third-degree felony. Smith also has three bonds, totaling $215,000, and he was still in custody as of Wednesday morning. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, December 10th, 2020. Local. District keeping an eye on state finance. OA News at OAOA.com. With a gloomy financial picture looming in Texas, Ector County Independent School District Superintendent Scott Murray said He's expecting to have to make some tough choices in the coming few years and play a lot of defense. Speaking during Tuesday night's workshop, Murray said the Texas budget shortfall could be as much as $25 billion. He added that education makes up about 52% of the state budget. The trustees' discussion on budget priorities for 2020-2021 focused on prioritizing employees and compensation, not losing ground on the recent work done to recover from severe staffing shortages of the last several years, and boosting morale, and keeping resources necessary to provide a quality educational experience for all students, paying particular attention to areas of need, the board recap said. President Delma Abalos was unable to attend. Vice President Tammy Hawkins served as president. Right now, no one really knows how bad it will be, but we do know we're going to have some type of negative impact, Murray said. If the economy starts to accelerate again, Murray said that would be good, but the legislature will have finished their session. Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmers said the district may not know the financial picture before it has to adopt its budget. She anticipates it will be about a $300 million general fund again. Murray said there has been talk among some lawmakers about districts using their fund balances to make up any state funding shortfall. Over the last couple of years, Murray said ECISD's fund balance has risen dramatically, largely because of job vacancies. As of today, Murray said ECISD's fund balance is where it should be, in that it has funds to pay employees and bills for almost 3 months. He added that this will help on the bond market if that is something the district decides to do, and it will give the district a sense of surety in a crisis. If the district used its fund balance, it could be in jeopardy. He added that there are some districts with large fund balances and others that don't have the fund balances they need. But Murray said legislators have talked about having school districts use their fund balances to make up for a loss in state funding. We'll be watching that. I've already talked to our local officials to let them know that's a bad idea, Murray said. It would be harmful to a district like ours. He added that as the session goes on, the district will know more what it will be able to do. We may have to do some scaling back this year, Murray said. It may be more of a budget season of needs rather than wants. Murray said he's concerned about the financial picture for the short term, but believes the state will come out of it a little bit better and faster. Otmers said at this point ECISD is down about 2,200 students. We're hopeful we'll get some of those back, but we just don't know, she said. She said it's estimated that ECISD will start with a $300 million budget in the general fund, but if the state decided to cut 1%, that's going to be $3 million. Otmers said she and Murray would update the board monthly. Murray said there is already talk of delaying or removing some of the funding from items like the teacher incentive allotment, part of House Bill 3, pre-kindergarten and additional school day funding, all of which ECISD is planning on having. He added that cuts made in 2011 had a significant impact on student achievement. Trustee Carol Gregg, who attended virtually, said her priorities are teacher compensation and salaries for employees. She said the district has asked a great deal from its staff this year, and she wants to do the best they can to compensate them. Board member Steve Brown said he thought attrition would take care of a lot of the compensation concerns. Executive Director of Human Resources Stacy Ashley said 450 to 600 employees resign or retire on average every year. We're just beginning to recover from the staff shortages we've had over the last 3 to 5 years, Brown said. It's critical we encourage our teachers to stay on with us through paycheck and other incentives. Trustee Chris Stanley, who also attended virtually, said he'd like to echo what Brown said. The hope is we can find a way to absorb without the perception of punishment, not taking something away or releasing people. I don't know where you would cut. I think we're running a pretty sparse ship already, Stanley said. Board member Donna Smith said she would like for employee morale to be a priority. She said morale is not necessarily tied to a paycheck. If we can figure out how to make their lives better, how to understand their positions more deeply and what they're struggling with. I think everything really is a budget priority, whether it's directly tied to money or not, Smith said. Schools of choice and where to go in the future also was discussed. Assistant Superintendent of Student and School Support, Alicia Siverson, said ECISD is rebranding Magnet in favor of choice schools. Quoting an Odessa American article, Siverson said choice schools started 40 years ago as a district promise to continue the work of equity in schools across the district. Those words came from the mouth of Gene Collins at the end of the desegregation order, Siverson said. Siverson said the choice program gives students a chance to explore their unique talents and interests. Some of those talents and interests would go unrecognized or unexplored if that chance wasn't provided in ECISD. Robin Garcia, Executive Director of Student and School Support, said there are 13 choice schools currently, and presenters reviewed them and what they offer. As the district builds out its future choices in ECISD, it wants to look at multiple pieces of data to make decisions going forward, Siverson said. She noted that there are some schools that are over capacity in enrollment and have waiting lists, such as Milam and Reagan Elementary Schools. Cameron Dual Language Elementary and Austin Montessori also have waiting lists. Siverson said Superintendent Scott Murray has said that they have to have one foot in the present and one in the future. In doing this, Siverson said they will need to put input from stakeholders, students, and families, and consider workforce demands as well. Changes in enrollment and available enrollment capacity will play a role. The board discussed whether there should be more magnet options. Trustees talked about having middle and elementary school international baccalaureate programs, which have been considered before. Board member Donna Smith said she felt like the district had migrated more toward neighborhood schools since 1980, and that there was a disparity between East and West Side campuses. Trustee Steve Brown noted that the demographics from 1980 to 2020 are so different. It's interesting to look at our choice schools, Brown said. They have changed and evolved, some of them multiple times. I think that's a reflection of the district, giving the community what they've asked for. Conceptually, Murray said, that should be what choice is about, reflecting the choices that parents make. Previous coverage, TINYUR.COM/Y5K8XYD9. State-funded program brings free COVID tests to Odessa by Federico Martinez, FMARTINEZ at OAOA.com. Odessa residents will be able to receive free COVID-19 tests beginning Friday at Floyd Gwynn Park, 1015 North County Road West, thanks to a state-funded program. City officials made the announcement during Tuesday's City Council meeting. Although details are still being ironed out, EMS Chief Rod Huber said testing will be available 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Residents can be tested inside, or a drive-through option will also be offered. I think this is good news for the community, Huber told council. I think everyone has been affected by COVID. Either they had it or they know someone who has had it. Ector County is one of 8 counties that were selected by the state as regional testing sites, Huber said. The state has contracted with a company that will oversee testing site operations. The testing sites will use a procedure that collects a person's saliva for testing instead of the more common and intrusive method, which involves putting a 6-inch cotton swab up both sides of a person's nose and moving it around for 15 seconds, Huber said. The free testing will be offered through December, but city officials don't yet know exactly how long the program will be available. COVID-19 rates have been alarmingly high in many West Texas communities, including Ector and Midland counties. Odessa Mayor David Turner, 3 weeks ago, signed an ordinance limiting business occupancy to 50% and requires employees and customers to wear face coverings inside businesses. Violators can be fined up to $250. Turner's actions were prompted after he was notified by the Texas Department of Health that coronavirus patients had been taking up more than 15% of hospital beds for several weeks. Odessa's rate at the time was 23.95%, an alarming rate that indicated the virus was spreading unchecked throughout the community. Turner announced Tuesday that rates have decreased to just above 15%. He has previously said the ordinance restrictions will remain in effect until rates drop below 15%. Showing support. Left, James McCrary, left, and Johnny Young, right, hold signs outside of Odessa Regional Medical Center as they and others met to support and encourage healthcare workers leaving and arriving for their shifts on Tuesday night. The signs say, "No one fights alone," and "Thank you." Right, one of the organizers of a healthcare support group, Jenny Fanous, rings a bell and cheers as a group of nurses arrive for their shift at Odessa Regional Medical Center on Tuesday night. Fanous and others who were at ORMC to support healthcare workers on Tuesday night are members of a Facebook group called Thank a Healthcare Hero, which aims to provide support and encouragement for local healthcare workers. Photos by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, December 10th, 2020. Page 2, read. See holiday nights from up high. OA News at OAOA.com. The restored World War II Beach C-45 Navigator trainer will be used for the Christmas lights night flights that the High Sky Wing will be putting on starting December 11th and ending on December 23rd at the CAF High Sky Wing Hangar at Midland International Air and Spaceport. Courtesy photo. Midland. This week, the High Sky Wing will begin its unique annual event of Christmas lights night flights. People can fly in a World War II aircraft and get a view of the Christmas lights from above. The flights are scheduled nearly every night starting Friday until December 23rd, with the exception of the 14th. Flights will take place every 30 minutes, beginning at 6 p.m., with the last flight taking place at 9:30 p.m. each night. The High Sky Wing of the CAF will be flying its restored World War II Beach C-45 Navigator trainer over the cities of Midland and Odessa. The aircraft holds 5 passengers. "You take off at the High Sky Wing at the airport," said Julie Renault, finance officer of the High Sky Wing. "I think Midland has the better lights, so you fly over Midland from about 1,000 to 1,500 feet off the ground. You get a pretty good view of the lights. You view it in a unique way. This is the 7th year of the Christmas lights night flights. The cost is $75 per person for a cabin seat, while a co-pilot seat is $145. We just try to make it a unique experience," Renault said. "It's grown and has become very popular with the community. It's a great gift to give. Kids love it, and adults do too. Grandparents love it. It's just a unique opportunity and something different to do. Riders must be 5 years or older, and all children under 12 must be accompanied by an adult. Passengers must be able to enter and exit the aircraft under their own mobility." Renault said that they are taking extra precautions this year due to COVID-19. "We've changed a little bit of our procedures," Renault said. "We do have hand sanitizer, and we'll be disinfecting the aircraft before and after the flights. We have plenty of hand sanitizer to go around. As far as operations, we weren't able to provide an air show for the community, so it's good to be able to do something for the community and get people to fly. A couple of different pilots will be flying the plane during the weeks of the event. Most of our pilots are on the field for different companies, but aviation is their career, Renaud said. We have a rotation of different pilots, and we keep up our training and safety precautions and maintenance. The High Sky Wing is a nonprofit organization. To keep our aircraft flying and our museum opened on the weekends, we have to have funds coming in, so this is a good way to have funds come in, Renaud said. Funds go right back into the aircraft. We do different flyovers during the year for the community. It's nice to be able to fundraise and get the aircraft up in the air. To book a flight, email rides, R-I-D-E-S, at highskywing.org or contact the High Sky Wing at 432-254-6182. The Midland Army Airfield Museum will also be open to tour during the flights. On the net, highskywing.org. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, December 10th, 2020. Obituaries. Lois Darling Runyon, Odessa. Lois Runyon passed away November 26th, 2020, with her family by her side. On September 15th, 1918, in Kingman, Kansas, was born Lois Geraldine Darling to Emory and Maud Darling. She was the second of three children. Mom was always a hard worker. She took care of the home, children, and sewed and made clothes for herself and her girls. She always had beautiful flowers in her garden and tomatoes. On December 12, 1936, she married Robert Samuel Runyon. They had three daughters, Barbara Kay, Karen Ann, and Sandra Sue. Robert worked in the oil fields, so they traveled with the rigs from Kansas to Michigan, then Oklahoma, from there to New Mexico, and finally to Odessa. Lois was preceded in death by her parents, Emory and Maud Darling, brother Russell Darling, sister Virginia Ellen Darling, husband Robert, granddaughter Kathy Boyland Hicks, and daughter Barbara Runyon Boyland. She is survived by daughter Karen Ray and Jerry, and granddaughter Judy Ray from Fort Davis, Sandra Fowler and Pat of Odessa, and grandsons James Robert Fowler and Melissa of Gordonville, Texas, and Doug Fowler of Odessa. Great-grandchildren Megan Green and Corey, and great-great-grandson Coleman of Odessa, Dustin Fowler and Amanda of Odessa, Tristan Fowler and Elizabeth Duncan of Denton, Texas, numerous nieces and nephews. She will be missed by all of us. Rest in peace, Mom. We love you and miss you. Graveside service today at 12 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Bobby Don Lowry, Amarillo. Bobby Don Lowry, age 68, passed away Saturday, December 5th, 2020, in Amarillo, Texas. Don was born October 23rd, 1952, to John and Ruth Lowry. He was a proud graduate of Odessa High School, class of 72. Don met and married Sandra K. McCall in 1971, and from this union had three children, two daughters and a son. He remarried in 1985 to Vicky Elizondo, gaining a daughter from a previous marriage before completing his family with the birth of his last child, a son. Don was a plant operator in Odessa for over 37 years. Don is survived by his wife, Vicky, his son, Andy Lowry, and his wife, Brenda, daughter, Terry Forrester, and husband, Chris, daughter, Megan Perkins, and her husband, Will, son, Mike Lowry, and his wife, Ariel, daughter, Casey McKelvain, eight grandsons, Dylan, Bobby, Cade, Jordan, Braden, Grayson, Noah, Wyatt, and Mason, one granddaughter, Riley, and one great-granddaughter, Layla, his only brother, Ed Lowry, and lastly, Coon, his beloved pet. As per his wishes, there will not be a service. Robert John Bob Stacy, Edmund. Robert John Bob Stacy, 87, passed away December 3rd, 2020, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He was born to parents Clifford and Marie Davis Stacy on May 12, 1933, in Pond Creek, Oklahoma, and married Eugene Dean Stacy on November 6, 1952. Bob served proudly in the U.S. Army. He worked for Parker Drilling Company in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and Odessa, Texas, and then became self-employed at Bob's Electric, Odessa, Texas. They raised their family in Odessa, retired in Kingston, Oklahoma, and later moved to Edmond, Oklahoma. To honor his legacy are his children, Robert Dale Stacy and wife Rita, and Karen Stacy Hall and husband Tom, all of Edmond, Oklahoma, numerous grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. Bob was predeceased by his parents, brother Alan Stacy and daughter Deanna Haynes. A memorial will be held at Baggerly Funeral Home Chapel, Edmond, Oklahoma, December 11th, 2020, at 11 a.m. For more information, please visit baggerly.com, spelled baggerly.com. Ernest Rhodes, Odessa. Graveside services for Ernest Rhodes of Odessa will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, December 11th, 2020, in the Gaines County Cemetery, with Reverend Kyle Rogers officiating under the direction of Ratliff Funeral Home of Seminole. We lost our father, brother, uncle, and papa on December 5th, 2020. Ernest Rhodes went to be with his beautiful wife and Lord and Savior. Ernest is survived by his daughter, Belinda Stedman, and her husband, Mike, of Odessa, Ernie Rhodes and his wife, Sharon, of Bluffdale, and daughter, Christy Campbell, of Odessa. He is also survived by 7 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his beautiful wife, Wanda Rhodes, his father, Earl Rhodes, his mother, Cora Rhodes, and his brother, Earl Rhodes. Family visitation will be held Thursday, December 10th, 2020, from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Ratliff Funeral Home, Seminole, Texas. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made to the American Cancer Society. Death notices. Karen Lanice Hooper, Odessa. Karen Lanice Hooper, 61, of Odessa, died Saturday, December 5th, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Austin Robinson, Springfield, Missouri. Austin Robinson, 48, of Springfield, died Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020, in Springfield, Missouri. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Santos Manuel Hernandez, Midland. Santos Manuel Hernandez, 64, of Andrews, died Monday, November 30th, 2020, in Midland. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m., December 12th, 2020, at Our Lady of Lourdes in Andrews. Burial will immediately follow at Andrews County Cemetery North. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, December 9, 2020. Health and Wellness. Midland Health staff gives back to community. Clarissa Toll, Midland Health. During a year like no other, we have learned how desperately we need and depend on one another in the hours or months of crisis. It is in these times of crisis, acts of service seem to shine the brightest. Midland Health strives to always be a light to our community. This year has asked more of us than we ever could have anticipated, but it has expanded our caring hearts beyond known depths. Midland Health hosts a Community Service Month in November, when we encourage staff and their families to volunteer at a variety of local organizations and give back to their community. This year, however, because of the outpouring of love and support from Midlanders, our Community Service Month felt even more important as our neighbors, friends, and families continue to shower Midland Health staff with gifts and words of encouragement as we face a pandemic. Despite COVID-19 restrictions and maintaining safety precautions, Midland Health staff were able to collect over 3,000 pounds of non-perishable food for the Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, provide gifts and clothing to 36 local families through the St. Stephen's Catholic Church Dress an Angel Project, and collect hundreds of toys for the Children of Hope Chest clients. While COVID-19 has demanded our time, our attention, and so many of our resources, it has not squashed the generosity and kindness of our community. Light will always find a way in darkness. As the year comes to a close and COVID-19 continues to be a battle we face together, we would like to thank you for being our light. It is our joy to serve this county and help meet the needs of our neighbors. Clarissa Toll is a Community Relations Coordinator for Midland Health. Fix West Texas. Fix West Texas, which provides spay, neutering, and other services, will be operating a storefront facility at 5025 Princeton Avenue. The nonprofit will offer a clinic Tuesday through December 18. Beginning next month, clinics will be offered a couple of times a week, said Karen Patterson, the group's president. For more information, go to fixwesttexas.org. Writing Center receives $5,000 from Foundation, from staff reports. Starlight Therapeutic Writing Center has received a gift of $5,000 from the Warren Foundation for student scholarships to enable students the opportunity to participate in therapeutic horsemanship program at a reduced fee or at no cost to the participant, according to a press release from the center. The pandemic has created increased stress and anxiety, and traditional therapies don't work for some children, said Starlight Executive Director Gina Friedman. We've seen an uptick in the number of parents who are seeking therapeutic horsemanship to improve their child's mental health, and we believe it's our responsibility to do more. Scholarship funds will bring Starlight one step closer in its goal to serve more people in the community with curriculum strategically designed to address mental health and wellness, she said. For more information, visit starlightmidland.org or email director@starlightmidland.org. Overcome tunnel vision to see what's important. Yvette Rodriguez, Samaritan Counseling Center. Do you remember driver's education? The instructor told you to beware of tunnel vision and explained how it can affect your driving. He said a driver can become too focused on what is ahead that he or she fails to see what is directly in front or to the sides. At times, as we go through life's journey, we tend to experience tunnel vision and lose focus on the important things in life. To get out of tunnel vision while driving, a driver must use peripheral vision or turn their head to see the surroundings. Life is the same way. When we get stuck in tunnel vision, we need to turn our heads and our thoughts to help those in need. It can be healing for one to focus on others. Sometimes we think, "I'm such a mess. How can I help other people?" Remember, no one is perfect, but if we try to help others, we tend to forget about ourselves and what is happening with us. During this time of the year, we lose track of what is going on around us and what others might need. 2020 has been difficult for everyone. Try to think out of the box, recognize the limitations, and do not get stuck in the tunnel vision of "I must" or "I should." This holiday season, if you get stressed and get tunnel vision, remind yourself of the reason for the season and remember the greatest gift you can ever give anyone is time, love, and compassion. Take a moment today and reflect on the things you have developed tunnel vision over. Look at the things happening around you, find the silver lining, and share your heart. Samaritan Counseling Center, 563-4144. Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, December 6, 2020. Viewpoints. It is possible to prepare for Jesus and welcome Santa. Reverend Bob Hennigan, Holy Trinity Episcopal Church Rector. Jesus tells us to be in the world, but not of the world. In other words, we find ourselves living firmly within the society around us, and at the same time, trying to live into the kingdom of God. Nowhere else in the year is this more profound than December. Society is rushing headlong toward Christmas Day, with all of its excesses and the welcoming of Santa Claus. We see lights in trees, blow-up Santas, reindeer, and, anachronistically, snowmen. It's time of goodwill, generosity, gift-giving, family time. Love fills the air, or is supposed to. At the same time, the church is preparing for the coming of the baby in the manger, Jesus. The Jewish community is preparing Hanukkah. Homes and yards are decorated with nativity scenes, menorahs, angels, and the like. The fact that these are often surrounded by twinkling lights, Christmas trees, and blow-up Santas shows the dual personalities of the season, secular and religious. I see bumper stickers that say things like, "Jesus is the reason for the season. Keep Christ in Christmas." I heard people voice concern that retailers are not putting Christian symbols on coffee cups, or that nativity scenes aren't put on public land. I've even heard about a war on Christmas. I think statements like these ignore an important point. There are two distinct celebrations on December 25, and two distinct seasons of preparation. One season is, of course, the birth of Jesus Christ. It is a day of great joy for Christians. We have a new baby, a baby we believe who becomes our Savior. We sing Silent Night, Joy to the World, not the one about the bullfrog, and Oh, Come All Ye Faithful. We go to church, we gather with family, and perform our family rituals. And then there is what I call the secular feast of gift-giving and goodwill. It's not about Jesus. It's about kindness, generosity, and fun. We sing Jingle Bells, White Christmas, and Deck the Halls. We watch movies like A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life, both of which have very good messages of redemption, but have no religious focus. They are about the secular feast. I think both of these Christmases are important. I don't think they compete. I don't think there's a war on Christmas. I can focus on the birth of Jesus while singing Jingle Bells. We need a season of gift-giving and goodwill, this year especially, and we need to remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus, at least for people of Christian faith. I don't think I'd put Santa in a nativity scene or put Mary and Joseph on reindeer. Neither would I say that Santa and the birth of Jesus are mutually exclusive. Light the Christmas tree, sing about snow, put the baby in the manger, and sing Silent Night. And in that spirit, may I wish you a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas. Frankly speaking, Dixon doesn't want adults to dictate the rules. Stuart Doreen, sdoreen@hurstnp.com. Student outcomes don't change until adult behaviors change. Interim Superintendent Ann Dixon reminded the Midland ISD Board of this concept that was first talked about inside Midland ISD buildings back in 2017. In the moment of frankness that has been a staple of Dixon's time in Midland, she told board members they could continue to operate in the status quo and allow adults in the community to dictate the rules by which the district educates their children. She said that if behaviors don't change, future boards will continue to set goals that show only 44% of 3rd through 8th graders meeting or mastering grade level when it comes to the most elementary of objectives, reading. She said this was dismal. She told the board that if adult convenience, whether in the classroom, in campus leadership offices, inside central office or in board meetings, continues, the number of failing campuses will grow into double digits. Dixon has been a bit of a lightning rod for those wanting to cruise along, as Midland ISD has for the last few years. Secondary teachers protested her decision to bring students back on campus for a fifth day beginning in early November. You can imagine the pushback I'm going to get by putting 14 days back into the 2021-22 calendar, Dixon said. When she talked about putting elementary schools back on a unified reading program picked by central office staff, campus leaders, and teachers, she got pushback by one board member. "There's a slippery slope there," said Board Member John Trishiti III. How do we balance the unified but still talk about empowerment and autonomy? Dixon's response, the autonomy can't be an F. The autonomy can't be a D. That one comment should be a reminder to everyone inside MISD and across the community that the autonomy that district leaders have talked about for years has to be earned, something that is part of the system of grade schools theory of action adopted by this board in 2017. The goal in 2017 was that the district will complete a transition to an earned autonomy theory of action, where the central administration directly administers some campuses and grants varying levels of autonomy to other campuses. The central administration will clearly define operational thresholds that deserve higher levels of autonomy, and the specific autonomies earned consistent with board student outcome, goals, and constraints. The most recent Texas Education Agency Accountability Report showed Midland ISD as a C-minus school district, that only 4 of 38 campuses were A or B campuses, and there were 10 D-rated campuses, and 9 that earned an F. Autonomy should be rewarded. If a campus is doing rock-star work, I will not bother you, she said, but I'm not going to leave alone F schools. Yet, adult inconvenience in the community is the reason she is asked more about school names and less about making a difference in one of the worst-performing school districts in the state. Why is it that you can look across the entire border of Texas with the lowest socioeconomic, highest minority populations, and they're all A districts? Dixon asked rhetorically. They are doing prescriptive curriculum. Adult convenience is likely going to be part of a fight about a calendar that puts some students in an intensive reading program for half days of school while others are off. Adult convenience, she said, will be part of the screaming and yelling because teachers currently teach 166 days and they will be asked to teach 187, which he said is what an academic calendar is. Adult inconvenience will be part of the pushback from parents having to hear that they will become part of the discussion about whether their children advance to the next grade. Midland ISD reported last week that 4% of the 879 students who failed either the reading or math portions of the STAR were still promoted to the next grade. Dixon told the Reporter-Telegram this district doesn't need grade inflation or social promotion. What cannot get lost in Dixon's straight talk or how it might upset the adults in our community is how she's walking the walk. When campus leaders asked for help with substitutes on campuses, she sent central office staff to fill the void, an unparalleled move in the time I have been following the district. She has put her influence and the district's resources in backing those in central office to create a literacy team to help students with their reading objectives. District officials hoped for 25 tutors. They got more than 60. She has put her influence behind a schedule that sets the table for future MISD leaders in getting students back on track when it comes to reading scores that aren't what we expect of education in Midland. And she has done so without forcing one teacher to be a part of the intervention, although she said pay will be premium or at a salary structure of the most veteran teachers for those who do. Reading, MISD staff said this past week, is fundamental in lifting all boats when it comes to academic excellence. But if the reading in our district does turn around because of a different calendar, then district leaders would be crazy not to call for the same to benefit math performance, no matter the pushback board members might receive. We will have an A reading program, Dixon said. Again, student outcomes don't change until adult behaviors change. Greater academic achievement is what the board wants. It is what the community wants. It is why Dixon was brought to Midland, and most importantly, it is what our students deserve.
It's best to have Shingrix vaccine and flu shot on different days. Dear Dr. Roach, is it advisable to get the Shingrix vaccine at the same time as the annual influenza vaccine? TH. Answer. It can be done, but whenever possible, you should get the new Shingrix vaccine by itself. The side effects of this vaccine are more pronounced than with most approved vaccines, and more people may not feel well and will have low-grade fever, muscle aches, and fatigue that can last a day or two. Anecdotally, it seems that getting multiple vaccines the same day may worsen that reaction. I advise patients to get the Shingrix vaccine on a day where they have nothing critical planned that day or the next, just in case. If you haven't gotten this year's flu vaccine, get it right now, today, if possible. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, December 10th, 2020, etc. Man wonders if larger house could signal bigger problem. Dear Abby, my fiancé, Diane, and her two sons live in a nice home. I also have a nice home, newly constructed. It's located 1,200 miles away, near my parents, my son, and my job. Diane currently has no job nor family within 500 miles of her town. Her boy's father, whom she shares custody with, lives within 50 miles of me. My job and the custody arrangement for my son preclude me from living where Diane does. Together, she and I would have three sons. The spacious five-bedroom house I own is more than adequate. Diane has made clear that if I sell my home and buy my neighbor's, which is a larger seven-bedroom manor, she will be on the next flight. If not, she won't leave. We could buy the manor with cash if I sell my home and she sold hers and put her savings into the purchase, but she doesn't want to use her savings. Diane is my everything, but it feels like I may just be chasing a dream. I worry that if I'm not enough, will I be enough when I own a manor? It's complicated. Dear, it's complicated. I'm proud of you. You are seeing things clearly, which is unusual when emotions are involved. It appears your dream girl, the fair Diane, is attempting to blackmail you. If she can't be the leader of the manor, she's not interested in uprooting her life. If you give in to her now, do not do it without an ironclad prenuptial agreement. Please stay strong, because if you don't, you may regret it for a long time. Dear Abby, my sisters and I are beside ourselves trying to deal with our 90-year-old mother. She doesn't live in the same state as any relatives. She needs help paying bills, managing money, personal hygiene, taking medication, and understanding things she reads. She refuses to give anyone power of attorney over her finances or to create a health care directive. She claims she's not going to die. At the very least, she likely has some form of dementia. We want nothing more than to protect her interests, but our hands are tied. We have all spoken to her about the situation, but she insists that no one is going to tell her what to do. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Just trying to help her. Dear, just trying. Believe me, you have my sympathy. Instead of telling your mother what to do, perhaps it's time to reframe the conversation. Ask her what she would like done in the event of an emergency. Does she want extraordinary measures taken, such as CPR, and exactly what that means, a defibrillator, dialysis, treatment in an intensive care unit? Explain what all of them entail in detail. You should also ask in a separate conversation if she wants the state to take a chunk of her assets and decide for her to whom they should be distributed, or whether she would prefer to make her wishes clear while she's still able. Point out that no one lives forever. If your mother is really as demented as you fear she is, she may need the help of a social worker to ensure that she's getting proper care. Failure to do that could be considered elder abuse. To my readers, the 8 days of Hanukkah begin at sundown, a bit early this year. Happy Hanukkah, everyone. A joyous festival of lights to all of us. Love, Abby. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, Write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Sagittarius and a moon in Libra until 8:59 p.m., when the moon enters Scorpio. Happy birthday for Thursday, December 10, 2020. Private, philosophically deep, and otherworldly, when you push your talent forward and connect more with others, you succeed brilliantly. This year, you give so much in your work that you're rewarded amply. If single, you find it difficult to trust new people, so dating is a challenge. In 2021, however, you meet your soulmate. If attached, your partner must share your abundant idealism. Scorpio is your deeply intimate protector. The stars are the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 4 stars. Today allows your best qualities to shine. Others will be less demanding. Listen to and learn from others. Suggestions which you resist at first can prove to be valuable in the end. A close companion has multiple projects in progress. Tonight, discussion will dispel confusion. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 4 stars. Be sensitive to changes in your body, and all will be well. Address any questionable health habits, and your vitality will improve. Learn the art of pranayama, or healing yoga breathing, to further promote wellness and longevity. Tonight, fresh air and the wind will help. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 5 stars. Romantic interludes are a source of genuine delight. A new hobby or form of creative expression can become very important to you. You will feel ambitious and compete enthusiastically to attain success. Tonight, be cheerful while you reconnect, reconsider, revamp, and reflect. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 4 stars. Today favors home life. Honor the day with a gathering at your dwelling. Share memories of long-cherished traditions linked to your heritage. True happiness in a really good relationship can be attained. Tonight, be especially patient and very sincere. Leo, July 23 through August 22, 5 stars. Your charm and appeal are in top form. Finances will be beneficially affected, too. A long-anticipated purchase provides great enjoyment. A chance to correct ongoing problems will present itself. Gather information and sharpen skills. Tonight, the good times roll on. Virgo, August 23 through September 22, 5 stars. Thoughts tilt toward financial planning. Break work into small segments, working on several projects at once to alleviate boredom. Be versatile and creative in applying your job skills. Wry, subtle humor will appeal. Send a clever greeting card to a friend or enemy. Tonight, laugh. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Today holds great romantic potential. Many worthwhile projects will be in the works. A flurry of invitations, love tokens, and other pleasures will make the cold, dark days a time of happiness. Tonight, a bright, talented friend can provide inspiration. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 2 stars. There may be some unvoiced anxiety or frustration to deal with today. A companion offers sympathy and help. Learn from disappointments and delays, then plod ahead patiently. The message is one of rewards for a job well done. Tonight, strictly business before pleasure. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 4 stars. Today emphasizes friendships and group affiliations. Avoid those who indulge in negative habits. Double-check the agendas and priorities of organizations you're involved with. Focus on deepening bonds with friends. Tonight, a welcome and relieving opportunity for growth and change. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. Today promises help from those in positions of power and authority. You assimilate new ideas and make wise decisions. A workspace or career move may be in progress. Be flexible. Extra recognition is coming your way. Tonight, demonstrate your capabilities as best you can. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Today you can bring some sudden meetings and partings. An electric quality pervades your professional sphere. If you've been trying to develop a project or even new career direction, a breakthrough may come today. Promote your image and display your talents. Tonight, up late. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 3 stars. Be careful of investments and other projects suggested by an adventurous type. There can be a message from the spirit realm with important guidance regarding daily work and health care. Resist the temptation to be overly critical. Tonight, tolerance opens doors. Born today, mathematician Ada Lovelace, 1815, poet Emily Dickinson, 1830, violin prodigy Sarah Chang, 1980.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.